Good. So we can start the third session. I'm going to be the first speaker, and I will be talking about this topic, learning and policy search in stochastic dynamical systems with Bayesian neural networks. This is a collaboration with these co-authors, Stefan Deppeweg, Finale Doshi, and Stefan Utluft. The main contributor in this work is Stefan, who is a PhD student at Technical University of Munich, and his PhD is currently funded by Siemens Research, so this is a collaboration with Siemens Research. And the problem that we address in this work is the problem of policy search in stochastic dynamical systems, systems such as industrial systems, such as gas turbines, such as this one. Our goal is going to be finding a policy that will allow us to control these systems to achieve some optimal performance. This type of industrial systems, they can be represented as dynamical systems. We have at each time some state vector that represents the state of the system, and we can apply a particular action to the system. This action is going to make the system evolve to a new state vector at the next time point. And we could apply another action at that time step to control the system. And for each state value, we are going to have associated a cost. There is a cost function, and ideally we'd like to learn a policy. The policy is going to give us some collection of actions that are going to produce on average low values of the cost function. And one characteristic of these industrial systems is that these transitions between states are going to be stochastic. There is going to be some intrinsic noise in the system, and in general, for a particular value of the action and a particular state value, we'll have a distribution over possible next states. The problem that we address here is, given some batch of data, how we can find some parameterized policy that will produce on average low rewards, low cost values. So what we are going to be given some batch of data. This is data in the form of state transitions that contain the current state of the system, the action that we applied, and the next state that we measured. And this data is going to be obtained, for example, from an already running system. That's all what we are going to have available. These are expensive systems, and in general, we won't be exploring. We won't be collecting additional data because of for safety reasons. So given this data, our goal is to find some policy function, which is going to be parameterized in terms of some parameters theta. And as a function of the current state, is going to give us the action to apply to the system. And ideally, we would like our policy to produce on average low values of the cost of the following cost function. For different initial states, we can think of the evolution of the system for a horizon of time t, and we would like a policy that, on average, across different trajectories of the system, is going to produce low cost values. And the approach that we are going to follow to optimize, for example, the weights of our policy is going to first learn a model that for the transition dynamics in the system, this is going to be a probability distribution that tells us the next state, the probability of the next state as a function of the current state and the action that we apply. Once we have this model for the transition dynamics, we can connect it with our policy function and perform rollouts, simulations of state trajectories using our policy function. And we could think of optimizing then the expected cost over these simulated trajectories, over these rollouts. So that's the approach that we are going to follow. We can use a stochastic optimization with respect to theta to tune our policy. To implement this in practice, the first thing that we have to do is to choose a model for the transition dynamics. And when we look at a classic control theory, typically the model that is assumed for the transition dynamics is the most general one. In this case, the next state is obtained as a linear deterministic function of the current state, the action that we apply, and also some input stochastic disturbance that is going to introduce some noise in the system. And the deterministic function f can, in this case, transform the input randomness in complicated ways to produce a very flexible distribution for the next state values. So this is the model that is most often assumed in theory, but in practice most works, when they have to adjust a model for the transition dynamics from data, they assume additive Gaussian noise. They assume that the next state is just a deterministic function of the next of the current state and the action plus some Gaussian noise. This function f is parameterized by some weights w. This Gaussian assumption is very good for inference. It simplifies the learning of the function f from data, but it's also limiting in terms of the flexibility of the stochastic patterns that you can capture. So in this work, we avoid eliminating these input disturbances. We still keep them in our function f. We also have the additive Gaussian noise for to simplify inference, but we also keep the input disturbances. And by doing that, we have very flexible models for stochastic transitions. So that's what the model that we are going to be assuming. And this model is going to give us very flexible descriptions of stochastic patterns. This is very important for learning optimal policies. And I'm going to illustrate that with this example, which I borrowed from Bert Kappen, who was visiting Cambridge a few weeks ago. This example shows that noise can have a significant effect in the optimal control. And by having better models for the noise in the system, we will be able to learn better policies. This example is called the drunken spider. And in this example, there is this spider who wants to get home. And there are two possible trajectories to follow. It can go this way, crossing the bridge, which is the shortest path. Or it can go around the lake, which is a longer distance and has a larger cost. In the absence of noise, the optimal control in this case involves going through the bridge. However, the spider may be drunk. If the spider has had a few pints, then it's drunk. And going through the bridge could be dangerous. The spider could fall on the water. And that would have a very low, large penalty. So when there is noise, the spider, the optimal control would involve the spider walking around the lake. This simple example illustrates that the presence of noise can significantly affect control. And by having better models for the stochasticity in the system, we will be able to find better policies. In industrial systems, noise doesn't arise because of this presence of alcohol. It arises because of partial observability. There are some elements that in the system that we cannot observe and that are going to have some effect in the values for the next states. In our model, we capture this by using these stochastic disturbances, which will account for these unobserved factors that affect the dynamics in complex ways. So this is the model that we were using in this work. We have this that the next state is a deterministic function of the current state and the action and the input disturbances. And we are going to learn this function from data. To do so, we are going to describe our function using a neural network. We are going to be also Bayesian to capture model uncertainty. If we have uncertainty about the possible values that the weights may have taken, by being Bayesian, we can account for that uncertainty. And we are going to learn a posterior distribution over both weights of the neural network and also over the input disturbances on the training data. Our Bayesian neural network specifies a Gaussian likelihood. The likelihood function is going to be Gaussian with this expression. Here I am using x to represent the inputs to the neural network, which could be the current state and the current action that we apply. And the outputs could be y, which in this case it would be the next state. We can then fix priors for the unknown variables in the model. This would be the weights of the neural network. We can assume standard Gaussian priors. And also, we can assume standard Gaussian priors for the input disturbances in the training data. We can multiply priors and likelihood function to obtain a posterior distribution over weights and the input disturbances that represents our uncertainty once we have seen the data about the unknown quantities in the model. To make predictions for the next state value, given some particular values of the current state and the action, we can just integrate the predictions of our model with respect to the parameters w. So we have here a posterior distribution over w. And then also we have to integrate over the input disturbances set. So that's how we can make predictions in this flexible model for stochastic patterns. However, this is challenging because this posterior distribution is going to be complicated, and we won't be able to solve this integral exactly. So what we propose here is to use approximations. We can approximate the complicated posterior with a tractable distribution, for example, a Gaussian distribution from which we can easily sample from. We can then approximate this integral by just an empirical average over samples of both W and also the stochastic input disturbances. So that's what we are going to do. We are approximating our complicated posterior with a factorized Gaussian distribution. And then we have to tune the means and the variances in this Gaussian distribution so that it is close to the true posterior. We do that by minimizing alpha divergences between the approximation Q and the true, between the true posterior P and our approximation Q. The alpha divergence can be understood as a distance between distributions, although it is not exactly a distance. And this figure illustrates its behavior. I borrowed this from one paper by Tom Minka. And here it shows that for large values of alpha, which is a parameter in the divergence, large and negative values of alpha, we fit a local mode in the posterior distribution. For large positive values of alpha, we try to cover the whole posterior distribution P with our approximation Q. And for individual values of alpha, we can smoothly interpolate between these solutions. In particular, for alpha equal to 0, we obtain the method variational base. And for alpha equal to 1, when we minimize locally this divergence, we have the method expectation propagation. And in this work, we are going to focus on these two values, alpha equal to 0, 1, and 0.5, which in previous studies, we saw that this produces, in general, better probabilistic predictions. So that's how we do approximate inference, minimizing alpha divergences. How does this do in practice? We evaluated the predictions of these models in two toy data sets to show how we can capture complex stochastic patterns. Here we have two training, two data sets, one which has some bimodal predictive distribution and another data set that has some heteroscedastic predictive distribution. Here the noise, for example, depends on the inputs. And we have regions with high noise and the other regions of the input space with low noise. When you assume additive Gaussian noise, you fail to capture these stochastic patterns in the data. And when you use our Bayesian neural networks with input disturbances, we are able to capture this bimodality in the predictions or heteroscedasticity. So this is great. We can capture these stochastic patterns, even though we didn't have to manually incorporate these assumptions into our model. In our model, we never specify that the distribution is going to be bimodal or heteroscedastic. So how this is good for making predictions, how does it do for learning policies? We evaluated the performance of our models for learning policies in a simple benchmark problem, which is called the wet chicken problem. In this problem, there is a canoeist that is paddling in a river. And there is some drift that drives the canoeist towards a waterfall. The drift is larger on the right-hand side of the river and smaller on the left-hand side of the river. And besides this drift, there are also turbulences, shown here as these curves. And the turbulences are going to push the canoeist around in random directions. The turbulences are higher on the left and smaller on the right. The reward that the canoeist obtains is higher the closer he is to the waterfall. So ideally, the canoeist wants to be closer to the waterfall, but there is the risk that the canoeist may fall through the waterfall. And in that case, the canoeist starts again at the beginning of the river. And because he's far from the waterfall, he obtains a low reward. So the canoeist wants to be as close as possible to the waterfall, but not as close so that he would fall. So that's why this resembles the game chicken. And that's why this benchmark is called the wet chicken problem. So we generated some data from this case and fitted our predictive models to that data, and we learned some policies. And we showed that with our approach, our Bayesian neural networks and minimizing alpha divergences, with alpha equal to 0.5, we find some solution that is very close to the optimal one, where the canoeist stands at this position. When we use models that assume additive Gaussian noise, such as the Gaussian process model, the policy doesn't perform well in this case. And if we use other approximate inference techniques, such as variational based, in this case, the policy learns are less accurate as the ones obtained with alpha equal to 0.5. In this case, the Gaussian process model doesn't perform well because this benchmark presents both heteroscedasticity and bimodality, and our model can capture this automatically. So this is good. How do we do in industrial systems? This represents results with a simulator of an industrial system. And here we show different rollouts of according to the predictions of our models. We fix a set of actions, and we look at the trajectories of the system for those fixed set of actions. And we look at the ground truth, is the trajectory of the system shown in red. And in blue, we show the results of the rollouts of our methods. And we see that, for example, using our Bayesian neural networks, we see that our rollouts present these bimodality patterns that are observed with variational Bayes and with alpha equal to 0.5, although alpha equal to 0.5 produces better fits to the ground truth data and also tighter confidence bands. And if we compare with a neural network that just assumes additive Gaussian noise, this model fails to make accurate predictions for the evolution of the system. When we look at the predictive log likelihood in benchmark problems, we see that our Bayesian neural networks have a better predictive log likelihood than Gaussian process models and normal neural networks with additive Gaussian noise. And minimizing alpha divergences with alpha equal to 0.5 does better in practice. These improvements in predictive performance are also translated into gains when we learn policies. We see that the average reward obtained by our policies is, in general, on average, higher than with other techniques. So just to conclude, some summary of this work. We have presented here very flexible models for stochastic dynamics, and we have shown that capturing these complex stochastic patterns is important for policy learning. Our models are flexible and scalable. By using Bayesian neural networks with these stochastic input disturbances, we have flexibility and scalability. We can also do accurate approximate inference by minimizing these alpha divergences with alpha equal to 0.5. And we have obtained the state-of-the-art policies in industrial problems by optimizing across rollouts generated by our models. So that's all. Thanks a lot, and I will be happy to answer any questions. Yes.
When you work with gas turbines in real life, how do you handle the safety?
That's something we didn't cover in this work. And
you want to do an action, right? And if it's not safe, will you do this or not?
Yeah, so one of the things that we are investigating now is to take into account the model uncertainty that is learned by our neural networks. We have uncertainty over the weights, and we can know how confident we are about the predictions of our models. And those could be, for example, ways in which you could address those problems. Yes.
Would there be a straightforward way to translate this model into a setting with discrete actions?
This thing would only work with continuous actions because you have to backpropagate when you learn the policy. I think there are methods in which you could learn policies that are based on discrete actions, but you would need to use different techniques from the ones described here. Yes?
Are there any cases where this introduction of extra error would confuse the machine? So it's not suitable for certain types of problems or something?
I don't know why, because you could only always learn to ignore those, like the input disturbances. It's true that if you don't have enough data, those things, because they are noise that is fed as input to your model, it's probably going to make learning more difficult. So I think you probably have different trade-offs depending on how much data you have and how accurate your assumptions are.
Quite convincing gains with the alpha divergence equal to alpha 0.5. Mm-hmm. But given that you use neural networks and you can scale the capacity of these networks, it's kind of surprising that the VB solution is comparatively bad. Do you have any intuition why that's the case?
So what we found in practice is that a variational Bayes tends to focus on minimizing the prediction error, and the larger values of alpha alpha equal to 1, for example, focuses more on producing good test log likelihood values. And it seems that for this type of models, focusing on good test log likelihood is more important than just focusing on low prediction error. But that's something that we don't really understand well yet.